Hello, and welcome to the Way Family Podcast. My name is Zach Way, and I'm joined by my lovely wife.
Hey, it's me, Hannah.
Today we're going to be talking about how to be a better team. Either a better teammate, or a better team player, specifically in a relationship with a significant other. So, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Join us now in our weekly dance. We are joined by our little puppy, Charlie, here.
A giant puppy.
Oh, he's only about 60 pounds.
He's huge. He's not a little puppy.
Well, in my head, he's still a little puppy. So if you hear dog noises, it's a dog. We got all three kids to bed, which was
a miracle in itself.
Miracle. But Charlie just hasn't had a lot of FaceTime with us today, so he will be joining us. So, Hannah, how was your week? It's the same question every single time.
I know.
Time.
I thought I heard a baby. My week was pretty good. I did my workouts. I got to see some friends. We got to go to a fun dinner tonight. We got to get some work done yesterday. The details of the week are escaping me because that is a baby crying. But
do you want me to get her while you talk about your week?
Yeah.
Okay.
you go get her. Just pat her back a couple times. She might fall back asleep.
Sounds
but
she great.
Also might not.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I am looking at, okay. So every Monday, me and the kids go to our favorite coffee shop. It's called Tribe Coffee Shop, and they have really good coffee and really good pastries. And I've been doing that as a way to help combat my, I don't know, it's not necessarily anxiety, but just like that feeling of Monday of being alone with the kids all day long by myself after a weekend of us all being together. It's just hard. Like maybe that would be classified as anxiety, but, it just is difficult, like mentally. So I started doing Fun Monday, which typically we do Fun Friday, which we still do Fun Friday, but I started doing Fun Monday with the kids. So we go to our favorite coffee shop and we get some cookies and coffee and we sit together and enjoy this stuff. And it's just something very small and simple, but it's really fun. And it's like everyone looks forward to it and it's just a nice way to start the week. So that has been good. So we, again, just did that again this week. That's kind of like a normal Monday thing, but, and I've been doing my workouts, three workouts a week, which I feel like I'm very slowly getting stronger, which is, I don't know, that's really fun, but it still is very slow progress. I'm just excited to get to have that hour three times a week to be like to not be like in charge of any children for that time and just have a little bit of time to, I guess, work on myself, even though I'm working out with a whole bunch of other people, but, yeah. And then me and Zach just got back from a dinner for a church for like church volunteers and we had pizza and got to hang out with some people and it was really fun. So how was your week, babe?
My week was good. Let me think. Every day this week, I did my 5-minute cold shower, 60 minutes of exercise, and my morning walk with Charlie and my whole morning routine, which is really good. And so, yeah, I think I started off every day like really well. And that made the days, even though there was some circumstances that were outside of my control a lot better than I think that they would have been. So, yeah. You normally ask me when I get home, how was your day? And normally I say, you know, good or bad or whatever. I don't think that I said bad at all this week.
No, you didn't.
I did say I didn't get some things done, but I
That's
didn't
usually
say
what you say. You're usually never happy with the amount of things that you got done that day, even though I know you were working on things all day long. It just was not exactly what your standard was for the day.
Yeah. I did finish a book. I finished a book called The Secret to Happy Families, and I really, really liked that. It was basically a bunch of information on studies that have been done, and the author of the book was a pretty good writer, and it was basically talking about habits and rhythms and rituals and things that families who were happier than normal, and I'm not really sure how you define that, but things that they did. So one of them was family meetings, and so we held our second or third, we started in the new year family meeting, and we've slowly been implementing new things. I know our kids are only 5, 2, and 5 months, but I do think that it's beneficial just to, at the end of the week, kind of sit down and ask, like, hey, how was everyone's week? What went well? What went not so well? What could have gone better? How can we improve? What should we do next week differently? Etc. So that kind of idea came from The Secrets of a Happy Family. And yeah, so I liked that book. And that's about it for me.
Nice.
All right. Let's get into the main topic here, because we would like to watch a movie. Because all the kids are asleep except Finley, which it looks like she's going to be up for a while because
she's smiling.
A 5-month-old baby.
Very pleased with herself right now.
Yeah, she's like, ha-ha, I got out. You suck, Mom.
It took me like 20 minutes to put her to sleep, and then she slept for maybe 10, so that's cool. Okay, so...
Well, you know what they say, 20 minutes forward, 10 steps back. Wait. No, that doesn't make sense either. Oh. I was trying to make a joke. It obviously did not go very well.
Okay.
Oh, this was also my first week doing dumb phone, which let's see what my screen time went down to. Daily. This is so. Okay.
What?
Well, it said daily average 4 minutes. But then it just updated to say 1 hour and 44 minutes, which is down 34% from last week. I think it was because I was on my phone a lot today. But yeah. Okay. Anyways, you can find out more info about my Operation Dumb Phone if you go on Instagram. I made a video on IGTV and just have some 12 little tips there on what I'm doing for the next 60 days. So, first week done.
Cool.
On to the main topic now. So, we were driving back from a volunteer dinner and thinking about what we wanted to talk about on the podcast, and Hannah recommended, why don't we talk about teams? And she was throwing around a couple of different ideas.
Well, like teamwork, not like teams in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we normally base these podcast topics on conversations that we've had, which that's why we stopped doing the podcast for a while, because most of the conversations that we had was like, how can we survive?
Yeah, seriously. Wait, are you still doing all right? Okay, I am also surviving. Let's just keep on.
Okay, great.
Boring podcast ideas. Can I take a shower now? Yeah, can I take a shower now? Is it my turn to get the baby? Okay. For real, though. Like, for real.
So, yeah, normally we base the topics off of good conversations that we've had. So, Hannah and I were talking earlier this week, and with the book that I was reading about the Secrets of Happy Families, and one of the books that I'm reading right now, teamwork is one thing that has come up, and Hannah and I have been talking about that. So, tell me what your thoughts are.
Okay, so we've just had a couple different conversations this week about parenting and marriage and working together and being intentional and helping each other be successful, helping your kids be successful, just different things along those lines. And they've just been really good, interesting conversations. And I also recognize that it's not always like, it doesn't always seem like we're on the same team. Like, I feel like there's, it kind of ebbs and flows. Like, there are times when we are like both, like, you know, walking together, and then there are times when we're both walking in opposite directions, and, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Well, and there's a quote about that. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
It's pretty good. But I feel like for now, we are more on the same page than we ever have been, would you say?
Yeah. It's probably a combination, but either out of necessity or we've just been working really hard at it for the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, I think a combination of both. But,
yeah.
And I will say that getting on the same page and being like a good team is not something that's going to happen, like just happen accidentally. You know, like when we were moving from a place of like being kind of on our own, you know, just like living our lives in the same house to like being a team, going together, you know, working together. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, how did this happen? We're working as a team. You know, it's uncomfortable and it takes like a big shift, and I don't know. So all that to say, I feel like I didn't really understand how bad it was. Not like it was really bad, but until I could see how good that it could be. And I obviously don't think that we are perfect at this or anything at all, but this
well,
is just what
I would
we've
say
been
during our first year of marriage, we thought that we were a really good team because it was really easy.
Yeah, and it was easy for the most part,
and
you know.
It's easy to be good teammates when everything is going easy, but when things get difficult and you have more responsibilities and more things vying for your attention and time, then it becomes a little bit more difficult to have the same singular focus.
Yeah, like when everything's going your way, it's really easy to continue that way, you know? Lots of different things have caused us to, I don't know, lots of things have affected that along the last 6 years of marriage. So we've been married for 6 years, by the way.
You
said five. My
first year. So 1 + 5 = 6. That was right.
So one thing that I listened to this week that really stood out to me that kind of initiated me wanting to talk about this was, what's that podcast called?
Intentional Parents.
Intentional Parents, yeah. It's with Phil and Diane Comer and Elizabeth and Brooks. I don't remember their last name. It's four people that do this podcast, but I just picked a random episode and listened to it. I didn't know it was in the middle of a like small series that they were doing, but it's about parenting, and
I had recommended it to you about a month ago.
Yeah. Okay, so Zach was the first to come up with the idea of listening to this podcast.
Well, you know I am...
A four.
Yeah, I've got to get my points where they are due. Just want to be unique. And
I listened to it when I was taking a shower. Side note, whenever you get time to be alone, sometimes as a mom, the only time you get to do that is when you take a shower. Listen to something in the shower, whether that's a book or like a podcast or a sermon or something. It is really good. It just like makes it an all around really nice, relaxing, like refreshing fill up time. So anyways, I was listening to it when I was showering and a lot of their points were really good about parenting, but a big thing that stood out to me was kind of towards the end, they talked about, it was the husband and wife talking about helping to set each other up for success for like the following day. So the wife was a stay-at-home mom. The husband goes to work. And they said how they, like, it took them a long time to kind of like get to this realization of like, we need to like help each other out in this because that's how it was for us for a long time. It was like, it was just difficult and it felt like we were just both doing our own things and we both felt so alone. But they said that they got to this point and they eventually learned to create this system. Sorry. It's Finley. And so now they every night before they go to bed, they talk about the next day. And she finds out what time he needs to leave for work, and he finds out what he can do to help her in the morning, and he gives her some alone time, and just they're very clear and very specific with their expectations just for the next morning. And that just like stood out so much to me because it's something that's so small, but they explained how much it has helped them because her getting that time in the morning to be alone and start her day on a good note had like gives her like almost gives her the strength to get through a day of being home with three kids, parenting them, you know, teaching them, disciplining them, whatever. And that, I don't know, that's just really, really big thing to me. So
we are coming at this from a couple of different angles. One is the Patrick Lencioni's book, Three Big Questions for the Frantic Family, which Hannah and I read maybe about, what was it?
It was
2 years ago?
It was when we were about to have Fern.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, and I really like everything that Patrick Lencioni writes. He is an amazing author, but basically what he did for this book is he broke down a basic business strategy and applied it to families. And so you ask, what's unique about our family? Kind of what's your mission statement and core values and what separates you from other people? And then what is the most important thing for you right now? And when Hannah and I went, oh my gosh.
She stops when we stop talking.
Yeah. She stops. She starts yelling when we were talking, and
we're just
quiet.
Gonna talk like this. Oh, okay. You're okay. Yep.
Anyways,
sorry.
Where was I?
He says, "What's most important to you right now?"
What's most important for you right now? Like, what is your priority? And you guys have to come up with that answer together and try to figure out, like, okay, in this time in our life, in this season, what is the most important thing for the next 3 to 6 months? And then what are like the 4 to 6 main things that we can do that are going to support that? And so Hannah and I kind of went through that, and we've done that a couple of times now, basically creating a family rally cry with 4 to 6 defining objectives, which are things that support that rally cry, that one thing that you guys need to get done. So we read that book, and that kind of changed our philosophy on like planning for our family and how to get things done and operate and function as a like team unit. Then there's also been some other books that we have read, like The Secret of Happy Families is one of them. where it talks about he was actually in a different situation than the couple you were talking about. He was at work at home. He worked from home because he's a writer, and his wife had a job, and so he couldn't start work until everyone got out of the house. So that was always a pressure point for them, and they also identified every night, they call it the 7:42 fight, when both of them are tired and exhausted, and then they...
Their kids are in bed.
Their kids are in bed, and they start talking about something. And what's interesting is, I think this is reversed for Hannah and I, but the husband was home all day, and he wants some adult interaction and wants someone to talk to someone about everything that's going on. And the wife was working, and she was in a busy office and in meetings all day, and they just got the kids down to bed, and she just wants some alone time to chill out. And so they would always have a fight at 7:42 because they'd talk about, okay, how was your day? What's going on next and whatever. So they learned how to avoid that. And so basically, long way of saying, Hannah and I have gotten in a lot of fights and arguments, and we've never been shy about admitting that. But I do think that conflict is the price that we pay for a deeper level of intimacy and learning how to figure out how we can support each other as teammates has been like a big thing for us. So here's the three tips that we came up with on how to become a better team. Tip number one.
All right. Tip number one. These aren't necessarily like in any sort of order. It's just three things that we came up with. Assume that the other person is doing their best at any given time. Because usually people are. I mean, obviously not always. Sometimes people are slacky, but...
Well, if it's your partner, you definitely don't want to admit that you're assuming that they're trying to screw everything up, but that's definitely how we act a lot of times.
Well, and that is sometimes how it feels. Like, sometimes, like, just take, like, a difference of love languages, for instance. Zach's love language is acts of service. My love language is quality time and sometimes gifts, affirmation, like everything but acts of service. And so if you're working really hard at loving your husband or wife or whatever, but you're doing it in your way and not necessarily the way they best receive love, then it can feel like they're purposefully not loving you. You know, like it can feel purposeful and like they're, I don't know, not vengeful, but just like they don't care at all. And
like loading the dishwasher. If I'm having a bad day, I could assume when I open the dishwasher, are you just trying to load this incorrectly?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Incorrect. First, can we just, let's dissect that statement.
There is a right way and a wrong way.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. Like, and he would assume, like, one thing that, well, I will talk about that a little bit later, but yes, it can be easy to assume that, like, they don't care about you or they're trying to make you mad or they're trying to ignore you or whatever. That's very easy to think that and assume that and be offended by their actions.
And it's almost, it's a subconscious thing, but it doesn't help anyone.
No, it doesn't. And obviously, if you, like, yes, assume that they're doing their best, but at the same time, if it's something that warrants a conversation, obviously have the conversation. We're not saying ignore, like, mean behavior or bad behavior, whatever, not bad behavior. I don't know what words I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like, don't ignore things that need to be talked about just
don't
for the sake
avoid
of
conflict for the sake of, what's the word that I want to use?
Peacekeeping.
Artificial harmony.
Mm-hmm. So that's not the advice we're saying, but we're just saying like, think about it from another point of view and just assume that they're trying their best. Okay. And if not, it'll probably be obvious if they're not trying their best, but it's a lot better to assume the best of your partner than to assume the worst, which I feel like is very easy to assume the worst. So
most people, they don't want to screw things up purposefully, and they're not trying to make life more difficult for the people around them purposefully. So this is one thing that Hannah and I both have to work on, but as we're getting closer to each other and learning more, this is one of the main things that has helped us and will continue to help us remain on the same team by assuming that each other is just trying to do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number two is to communicate specific desires and needs. So, like with that podcast that I was talking about, how they said every night they say, okay, what do you need tomorrow? What do you need from me tomorrow? What time do you need to leave? What time can I do this? Blah, 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 blah. They have the intentional conversation of like, what can I help you with tomorrow? So one thing that I was thinking of in our conversation on the way home was a couple years ago, every time I would clean the sink, there would be really crusty, like cemented on toothpaste. And I have always just gotten in the habit of like running the water when I'm spitting so that it doesn't like get crusted onto the sink, you know? And Zach was not in that habit. Okay. But I had never said anything about it ever.
I'm in a water conservation habit.
But you never clean it out either. You just let it get cemented on. But I never said anything about it for like, whatever. We were married at like 2, maybe 3 years at that point. And it always bothered me because when I was cleaning the sink, it took freaking forever to get that off. And it was just such a simple thing to like not have that happen. So then finally I asked him one day, I said, do you think you can like run the water or just like splash out your toothpaste spit, please, when you're done spitting? And he's like, okay. And then he did. But I had gone however long in our marriage up until that point not asking him that because I just didn't want to be nitpicky. I didn't want to be naggy. I didn't want to be bossy. You know, I just was like, whatever, it's fine. It's fine.
And 2 years of building up, my husband's a complete slob.
No, I've never, ever thought that about you
every
once.
Time you're
if
cleaning
anything,
out the
I
sink.
Am the slob in this relationship. I am the slob, but I just, it was a constant annoyance, not constant, but like every time I would have to clean it out or every time I would see the sink and then it was like a giant crusty, it's just gross. Okay. But so it was just a constant annoyance that I could have had remedied if I had just spoken up earlier, you know? And then I don't think I've had to deal with a crusty toothpaste thing since then, other than our kids now. There's the crust monsters. So, but just that really small thing that taught me a lot about, I don't know, like how it's not bad to voice your desires. You know, like I desire to not have to spend 20 minutes scraping yucky toothpaste spit out of our sink. So would you please just do this? And it was a very small, easy conversation. And Zach was like, sure. It was like not a big deal at all. So that was, I don't know. That was just a big deal. That was a big deal for me. That was a long time ago, but
yeah.
Just things like that. And now just having, I don't know, sorry, you can talk. What were you saying?
So it's important to externally communicate, not just hint at or think that you said something or mean to say something. Like you actually have to verbally specifically say what it is that you would like.
Yeah, you can never, never, think that they can read your mind, because it will never happen. It will never happen. Believe me, I spent a long while of our marriage just thinking that if I looked a certain way, that he would just know what I was thinking. But nope. Yeah.
I was just like, why is her face like that?
It never works, guys. So just never assume mind reading is happening, because it is never happening.
Always assume that hints don't work, because 99% of the time they will not work.
Well, and in the case of the podcast that I was listening to, I really liked that they had specific actions that the person could do the next day, you know, like, and it just is as small as an intentional conversation before you go to bed. Like, how can I help you tomorrow? And like, give them if your husband or wife asks you that, then tell them ways that they can help you. Like, they're asking because
getting to that. Don't get ahead of yourself here.
Wait, what? Oh, I'm just saying like be specific with, okay. Yeah, we are getting to that. That's our third point, but be specific with the things, like if they're asking or if you're telling them something that like you would like them to do.
Yeah.
Or,
don't just say, I'd like for you to clean up more,
or say, yeah, don't say spend more time with me. Or like in Zach's case, he'd say like, I would like you to clean up like this, like have this clean, have a cleaner house or whatever, you know, those are vague ideas, but like very specific things like, when you get home, ask me how my day was, or if you could have this section like really clean when I get home, that would be awesome. You know, so like specific things like that are way better than like vague ideas. Even though the vague ideas can be helpful, because then it can give your
It gives you
partner,
some direction.
Yeah, a direction.
But not necessarily the steps that you need to take to get there. So you're kind of, it leaves you guessing on some certain things.
Yeah.
There's this quote from George Bernard Shaw that says that the greatest problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. And I feel a lot of times when you are vague, or when you drop hints, or when you're expecting the other person to read your mind, or when you think that you had said something, but you didn't, or at least
you do that one a lot. You say things in your mind a lot.
Yeah. You have to communicate verbally what the specifics are that you want. And that will help you to not get bitter about unmet, unspoken expectations, which I think that in a lot of marriages, there are unmet expectations, and the majority of the unmet expectations are unspoken expectations.
Yeah.
Exactly. Finley's is just smiling up a storm at me.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I get to be at the table now.
It's past your bedtime.
I'm with the adults. I'm on the podcast. I don't have to sleep.
Okay. And then the third point that we came up with was I kind of ruined it before, but make a habit of asking, like being the one to ask, how can I help you? What can I do for you? What do you need? Etc.
Yeah, and I think that the reason why this is very important is because some people are not like Hannah. It took her 2 years to ask me to not toilet paste.
Oh, I do not even want to know what sink. That is. Please don't leave toilet paste in my sink.
But some people are more amenable. Is that the right word?
Amiable.
Amiable. Or agreeable.
Oh.
Some people tend to be more agreeable, and they will not ask for their needs or their desires to be met.
And I, as one of those people that is quote-unquote more agreeable, which I don't know if it makes me more agreeable, just the fact that I don't say those things, but me not saying them doesn't mean that those things don't exist. Like, those desires and preferences still exist inside. I just have not spoken them. So it makes me on the outside, quote unquote, more agreeable, but at what cost, you know? Yeah, like,
but on the inside, she's a ravenous wolf.
Yes, I'm harboring this frustration and annoyance over toilet paste.
Toilet paste at the sink. Well, to be fair, that's pretty gross.
Okay, but
2 years of that, and yeah. I've had enough.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, just because you don't say the things that you want doesn't mean that you don't want those things, you know?
Well, so. And it might be unfair for you to expect for the other person to ask you and wait to tell them what you need until they ask you. Maybe they are not in that state of mind and they're like me, just, they would just expect that you, if you have something you need them to do, that you would just ask them. Or if there's something that you want them to do, that you would just ask them. That is almost always what I assume, is that I don't have to ask you, and I, well, you know, we need to work on this. Because sometimes I will not ask you how your day is, because I just assume that you're going to tell me how your day was after you ask me how my day was.
Well, I usually do tell you, but I also want to be asked.
But you want me to ask.
Because yep. I want you to care.
Right. Well, I care. It's just I'm not asking.
And when you're not showing that you care.
I guess that is the thing.
That
so
is the thing.
Make a habit of asking each other, what can I help you with tomorrow?
Yeah. And then it gives you... It gives you the chance to, well, first of all, both of you be intentional about your day, but it also gives you the chance to say those things. So if you are the type of person that is more agreeable or whatever, you know, doesn't want to inconvenience people or whatever, it gives you the chance to voice that. And I'll also say that if you're married, you're a team. So you shouldn't feel like you're bothering your spouse by asking them to do something or to help you with something or to not do something or could you please stop doing this or, you know, like that is healthy communication to be able to voice those things. And that took me a long time to learn too. And I'm still learning that because a lot of times I just don't want to. Like, it's a hassle to me, and I don't want to make it a big deal or whatever, but then it becomes a big deal if I don't say it. So.
Yeah. So, I think that this has the ability to turn the evening fight time into a not fight time.
Yeah.
Into
being intentional.
Yes.
And focusing on helping. There, we had some people on the podcast a couple years ago, Titus's friends, well, and our friends too, but we didn't know them before then, Craig and Haley, and we talked about being married young, I think. That was what the podcast was about. We asked them to share some, I don't know if it was like their one marriage tip or whatever, but they said that one thing they do every day before they go to bed is share something that they liked that the other person did or something they appreciated that the other person did. And it had them, it was good because it had them focusing on what the other person did right. And it also was giving them like, was encouraging them to give the person something to say at that night, you know, like to have, to get to the end of the day and like have the person, have your spouse have something good to say of like what you had done that day. So that was fiddly. No, she's not going to do it. So I thought that was really good. And we didn't put that into practice back then, but I just think that that kind of ties all of it in together because you're looking for the good. You're also trying to focus on helping and doing something good for that person. And when you have kids and when you have jobs and if you're in school or whatever you're doing, everyone is busy, you know, and it can be really easy to just kind of like lose each other, and you get to the end of the day and you're like, I really miss him and he's sitting right next to me, you know? So I don't know. I think being intentional in those small ways can be so helpful for when you're busy with everything else. Cause like you can't just put your marriage on hold just because life is busy. Like life is never going to not be busy. So you don't want to get to the end of like what, 20 years of marriage and find out you were never intentional in any of those years. You were just busy with everything else and you never worked on your marriage. And
well, and when you're typically, when you're busy, you're not very intentional. And when you're not very intentional, you're reacting to everything.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Reacting to everything is not healthy. It always puts you in a state of like defense.
Yeah, it's like you're always like, yeah, it's like you're in defense. It's stressful.
And so if you can be intentional, you are preventing yourself from becoming reactive by being, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
Proactive.
Proactive, yeah. The more intentional you are, the more proactive you are. The less intentional you are, the more reactive you are. Yeah. And the more reactive you are, the more unhealthy you become. If you're just always like reacting from one problem to the next problem to the next problem, you're just like fighting fires and surviving. You're never going to truly be thriving in your marriage or friendship or job or career or family life, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, if you're always being reactive and never being intentional. So quick overview on these three tips to being a better team. Number one is assume that your significant other is doing the best that they can. Tip number two is
communicate specific desires. Keyword being specific.
Yes.
And point number three is get in the habit of asking.
Yeah. So make it a habit. And one way that you could do that is simply by putting a piece of paper with 60 boxes on it taped by your bedside. And you can every single night check that off as you ask the question, what can I help you with tomorrow? What do you think, hon?
That was good.
Because it does take about 60 days to build a habit.
I've heard it said it's 22.
That is false information, fake news.
But how?
How?
Don't you think it depends on the person a little bit?
Yeah, well, you should read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, where he goes into detail on how it takes, how long it takes to build a habit, what kind of habits, etc. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we will talk at you guys next time.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Happy trails.